From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway. The Great American Race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR. The Motor Racing Network. Work.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Welcome to Guys We Fuck,
the anti-slut shaming podcast.
Yo, you haven't said?
I'm Christina Hutchins.
I'm Corinne Fisher.
And I'm your boyfriend. Bring us your slutty, your horny, and your shame.
Hey, you a slut?
Yes. Okay.
Let's talk about fucking.
Greetings, Earthlings. How you doing? How you been? Happy March. Welcome to another episode of Guys We Hugged.
It's the anti-bad girl shaming podcast. I'm Corinne Fisher.
I'm Christina Hutchinson.
Make sure you're following us on social media, guys. That's where all the most important things in the world are happening. And
yes,
it's the only place in life that has meaning. I'm at Philanthropy Gal on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter.
I'm at Christina Hutch. And together we are at Guys We Fucked without the U in Fucked.
On all those things. Make sure to follow and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/guys. Guys We Fucked without the U in Fucked. Watch our special that just celebrated a 1 year anniversary, our special day. We have the Dumb Bitch Woo Woo Hour. We have a lot of stuff. And I also feel like we all said fuck within the first 60 seconds.
60 seconds, you think?
Because
we're at a minute and 12.
Right.
So
exactly. Because
we're
just
cutting it close.
We just hit it now. And it will continue to be a problem.
If you want to send us an email, the email address to do that is sorryaboutlastnightshow@gmail.com. Oh, and also, too, a way to get instant advice from us is at the end, last Wednesday, usually, of every month, we do a live episode of Guys We Fucked on YouTube only. So that's another reason to subscribe to our YouTube channel, because we have call-in episodes on our YouTube channel exclusively. And we figured out, and by we, I mean Mike, figured out a way to filter the vocal, the audio from the call into the mic so that it sounds better.
It's got a different board.
Not for nothing. The audio quality is better, because I did get a couple messages from some tech nerd people that are like, excuse me, but I noticed that you're holding the phone up to the microphone and you don't have to do that. And I was like, yeah, thank you.
We
right.
knew we didn't have to do it. We just kept missing a part every week.
Yeah. So... thank you. Anyway, today's subject line, caught my boyfriend sexting his ex. Cute.
All right.
Hey, Corinne and Christina, love you both and appreciate your wise words. Hoping you can help me with this. The other night, I had a gut feeling to look at my boyfriend's texts. I've never done this with him after being together for 2 years now. I've always trusted him, but for some reason, I had a feeling, and boy, was I right. I saw sext exchanges with a woman who, after reading through these messages, realized is an ex of his. These texts were insanely explicit, mainly on her side, but he played into it pretty heavily and sent her a dick pic back in October. She sends him videos of her fucking some dude. Ooh, fun. He called her a cum queen. Cute. Which was previously something he'd call me as a sexy nickname, but now that's ruined. Yeah, that's dumb. You can't call two girls cum queens. You got, if you're
well,
gonna
they
call
can't
me,
know about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you got to hide that shit. Like, men are so bad at cheating.
called her cum queen, and then that nickname's ruined. It seemed to go back as far as we've been dating. These messages were periodic, maybe once every few months, but they seemed to get more and more explicit.
Because he got more and more bored with you.
It does seem like that's what happened.
Life sucks.
Yeah, I know, right? And it doesn't get better. This man moved to where I moved back in July after we were long distance for about 9 months. We just barely moved in together in November. Yet the whole time he was doing this with her. He swears it was just pornographic outlet. He didn't even really picture the person on the other side, except when she sent him videos of her fucking a dude. But the day I had that gut feeling, I had been doing an overnight clinical for nursing school, and he tried to sext her while I was away. She didn't respond in time, and they didn't exchange anything that night. But the fact that just in October, they were knee deep in sexting, fucking sick. The worst is if I hadn't caught him, he'd still be doing it. He blocked her, deleted her number, and says I can look at his phone whenever. That's super healthy.
Bad pattern.
But I'm still so hurt. It wasn't physical to my knowledge, but I don't trust him right now, so why would I believe that? He swears he loves me, only wants to be with me. Nothing is missing in our relationship, so why? Just for porn? I mean, possibly, yeah. That's what porn is for, and
Girl, be serious with yourself. It's way more fun to sex with an actual other person than you know than to watch porn.
Yeah.
Like, this is the part where just, like, women, like, just
level down. Like,
come on.
Get on the level.
Be serious with yourself.
You have it in you to understand what's happening. That's what porn is for, and I'm more than okay with him watching it. He says he's sorry, and it's the biggest mistake he's ever made, and I believe he's sorry,
so
but
corny.
Why couldn't he have thought about me in the moment? Because he wasn't.
He was horny.
Yeah.
And you weren't there.
Yeah. And the blood went to his dick instead of his heart. It makes me feel so disheartened because I really thought he was so perfect.
No one's perfect.
I hate the idea of starting over because of this quote. If this perfect man would do this to me, I think anyone would. We are so compatible, and truly he treats me amazing. I'm used to very contentious relationships, and he's always been so patient, supportive, and kind. I mean, that's a big thing. We have so much fun together, and I've never been more in love with someone. I just can't stop thinking about it. Is it stupid to forgive someone for sexting their ex? P.S. I know this isn't very support girls of me, but holy shit, this woman is hideous.
Rare.
Wouldn't you rather be sexing an uggo?
Men always cheat down. Yeah. We've been saying this for months.
Even though I don't know that I qualify this as cheating. But
From
what I know about their relationship, she's also really toxic. So I don't feel bad saying that. She knew about me the whole time too. So fuck her anyway.
But also fuck him.
So did he, because he was dating you. She has no obligation towards you.
Not on her.
She has zero obligation. Yeah. She doesn't have to be like women helping women at all. And she wasn't, and that's fine. Would it be better if she were hotter than me? Gag. I mean, no, the fact that you're in love with somebody that you feel so compatible with, and this is I'd be curious, like, why? This is what I would want to figure out. Like, why were you doing it? And I would also look at, like, our sex life. Was our sex life dwindling or suffering in any way? Because if
he was doing
I'd
it the
pissed.
Whole time, though.
Right, right. But I don't know how their sex life is. You say you're compatible, so I assume your sex life was good.
That's the problem for me. I don't like that he was doing it the whole time.
Yeah,
that's the only problem I have, because then there's dishonesty for the entire length of the relationship.
Yeah,
if it was something that just happened for during a period of time, like a year in or something, that's to me a lot more manageable with all the things that you're saying about him. I don't necessarily think that you should break up with him again. I mean, it depends, like, you know.
I would break up with him. Yeah, I think I would too.
But that's also, I don't care enough about being in a relationship to put up with this.
Yeah.
But that's a decision only you can make for you. And I think that I'm very far to, like, whatever, I don't know if it would be right or left, but I'm very far on the edge. So most people I don't think would agree with my stance for disposing of people.
This is grounds for a breakup, though. I think this is cheating.
If this were me and I discovered this, I would be like, okay, this isn't what I thought it was, and that's very disappointing, but we're going to end things now so I can start healing, and I'm going to erase you from my mind and pretend you never existed.
Out of all the things that we hear on this show, I think this is something that if you made the decision that you wanted to stay in the relationship,
yeah.
I actually don't think it's like, I don't think you would be a dumb bitch to stay in this relationship. I think it is certainly manageable. My issue is, you know, I'm guessing you're
you're writing us so soon after that, that the emotions are still high.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, if you are going to stay in the relationship, you have to make the conscious effort and decision to forgive him and then actually do it. Because staying in the relationship and then, like, you know, holding him, you know, on a string the whole time, is that's going to be
awful,
a fucking nightmare for both of you. So you have to, like, if you're going to stay in this, you have to, like, start healing and start making this work quickly. That doesn't mean, like, oh, he's completely eradicated immediately. He should have, you know, he does need to earn your trust back. And he knows that.
Yeah. You should even give that responsibility to him if you want to continue together. You say, hey, tell me how you can earn my trust back. Because right now I can't really see it, but I don't know that I want to end things. So what are your ideas? Make him fucking do the work. He did the work sending all those dick pics. He can use his brain to figure out how to mend your relationship.
You'll never fix it. You'll never fix it.
I actually disagree. I usually always think it's a breakup. I actually think that you can, if you made it. I also don't know how old you are, but I think that you can. I do think that you can, if you make the conscious decision to forgive him, you can, because it just depends, like, how much something like sexuality with someone else bothers you,
right?
Because it's pure pornographic. So if they weren't exchanging anything about, like, care for one another, I do think it is actually. I actually know someone who got past something like this.
Oh wow!
But, you know,
yeah, it's definitely doable. It's definitely doable. But man, what a he can't call you cum queen ever again.
Yeah,
that sucks.
That's a bummer.
And it also sounds like, oh, the other areas of your relationship, like, he's delivering in a way that you really like. And so he lines up with all of it, except, you know, the whole him sexting his ex for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Don't you hate that when that happens? Well, best of luck and let us know what you do. I'm curious. I'm curious the path that you take.
Yeah.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Getting stuff off your chest is incredible. It's so therapeutic. We all carry around different stressors. Some of them are big, some of them are small, a lot of them are very big. But we keep them bottled up and it could start affecting us negatively. And then we act like a jerk to the people we love. And we're like, this is not how I want to be. Therapy has saved my life personally. There are so many benefits of it. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. And it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. Although if you have experienced major trauma, highly recommend. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designated to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a questionnaire and you get matched with a licensed therapist, and you could switch at any time. Finding a therapist is like dating. They're not all going to work out in the first try. BetterHelp understands that. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/guys to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/guys. Guys, the weather's getting warmer. It's time to say goodbye to your jackets and all your sweaters, and you got to refresh your wardrobe. Well, luckily, I found Quince, and now you have too, because you're listening to this. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And if you go to their website, the amount of categories, they have travel, lookbooks, men, women, home, babies, and kids. Their stuff is so cute. So I own a couple items from Quince, and one of them is the Italian leather hand-woven crossbody purse in green, emerald, and I get compliments on it all the time. It's a small purse, which I really love because then I don't put as many things in it. Guys, Quince is amazing. They have very luxury items for very cheap prices. Get warm weather ready, baby, with Quince. Go to quince.com/GWF for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/GWF to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/GWF.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yeah. and come see us live, guys. Vancouver, Canada, I'm at House of Comedy March 16th through the 18th. Boston, Massachusetts, I'm doing Laugh Boston April 14th and 15th. Edmonton, Canada. I know I'm supposed to say the province and not Canada, but you know what I mean. Comic Strip, April 20th through the 22nd. Detroit, Michigan, House of Comedy, April 28th and 29th. And then Philadelphia. If you're in Philly, May 11th, 12th, or 13th, I am recording my debut stand-up comedy album at Helium, one of my favorite clubs. And I'm going to get another tattoo at that same tattoo shop that I got a Wawa tattoo at. I have an idea of what it's going to be, but I'll unveil it that weekend. Yay. And then I have a Patreon that you can sign up for just $5 a month. You get an episode of my solo podcast, The Voices in Our Heads, each month. And then you get up to four Zoom group therapy in quotes, because I'm not a licensed therapist and I have one tonight at 7. They're usually Mondays, Monday nights, East Coast time. But then I pick a weekday or a weekend once a month. So sign up for that at patreon.com/Christina Hutchinson if that floats your boat.
All right. And then Dublin, Ireland, Monday, April 3rd, I'm playing at Whelan's. You can get tickets at whelanslive.com. You can go to CorinneFisher.com and go to the live section. You can go to the Linktree link in my Instagram bio, which is at Philanthropy Gal. There's so many ways to get tickets. It's also on Ticketmaster Ireland. So that'll be a really fun time. One show only. No shows are being added. No other dates are being added. That's if you live in Ireland and you want to see me, that's the only time, probably for many years, if we're being honest, that I will be there. So that is the time to do that. And then with Out of Country, specifically the episode that is available now on YouTube, the most recent episode, is so important to me. And I would love for you guys to go take a listen. I have an amazing drag queen guest on it. Her name is Izzy Uncut. If you guys are keeping up with the news, there's a ton of bans and bills being introduced because conservatives are now targeting drag. They're trying to make it sex work, which it just is not. And so we had a really deep dive and did a main story on that. The episode is called Drag Queens Are the Mascot of Capitalism. It's episode 162 of Without a Country. I highly recommend watching it on the YouTube channel. You can, which is just at Without a Country. Subscribe while you're there, because there's so many visuals, and there's a lot of funny moments. And I just thought it was important to have an actual drag performer come on and speak to what's happening. Because even though I have been to, 50 plus drag shows in my lifetime, nothing compares with actually living in the moment. And it's also extra fun when just someone is in drag to have a conversation with them. But I think that's really important. And thanks so much for everyone for supporting that show. So many of you listen, and I really, really love it. And I hope that it's helping you to become a more critical thinker. But of course, if you just want to listen to the audio, it's also on Luminary and Spotify and Apple Podcasts and all the places where you listen to podcasts. That's that for my plugs for myself. All right. For this, I don't know if you had something that you want to go over.
Yeah.
So I saw this tweet from Neil Strauss, the author. I mean, The Game, I guess, is his most famous book, before I went to bed last night. And it said, do you want to be liked or do you want to be effective? You can't have both. And I've been thinking about that all night because, God, I mean, that's me in a nutshell. Obviously, it's effective, not liked.
It is.
I just think for it's a larger conversation that's especially important to women. And I see it so often. We talk about likability and women on this show a lot and in general as a society, but it really just I just wanted to put it out into the air as kind of like a PSA or a reminder that part of the reason women are held accountable for being likable is because people know how effective we would be if we weren't concerned with being likable. Mm-hmm. And women do it to each other all the time. Every time I'm on a podcast, I mean, honestly, it depends what we're talking about, but just as many women as men will make comments on, me not being likable. It's like, I wasn't trying to be likable. I was trying to be effective, and I was trying to convey what I came to the show to convey. My profession is not professional likable person. Most comedians, I would actually argue, and especially male comedians, are actually some of the most unlikable people on the planet. But how come
especially when you get to know them.
Yeah. Well, but how come it's acceptable, for men to be unlikable, but then women you know, and I would argue if you find women comedians less funny, it's because they have in their brain, they're also having to think about being likable, being hot, being young. And guess what? That's all energy that's taken away from being funny. And it's, and also being likable is not funny. Mm-mm. I've never met a likable person and been like, wow, they're hilarious.
They should try stand up.
It's very, very rare. Yeah. Silly people are likable. Hilarious people, very, very rarely likable. And I mean, I think a perfect example, I mean, Louis C.K.'s latest special, he plays Madison Square Garden. He comes out in the fucking most disgusting outfit I've ever seen someone perform live in, like an old ruddy sweater, a dollar t-shirt, jeans from God knows what the fuck year. He's, you know, he's unapologetic about the crimes of his past. He's, you know, like he makes a joke about, you know, oh, you can, thanks so much for supporting me. I'm sure there was at least one person who in your life who you couldn't tell what you were going to do tonight. You know, and funny. That was even a step down because I mean, like in his last special,
yeah.
He was even less, you know, less attempt to be likable or apologetic. And listen, I don't, whatever. My feelings on Louis C.K. are separate. I was like, all right, well, you know, you don't have to not apologize that much. You still did fucking take your dick out in front of a bunch of people who didn't ask for it. So let's not get too cocky there, Lou. It just reminded me about, and I thought it was a perfect example of likability.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, men and other women in your life will continually try to make you feel bad or make you feel like you need to adjust to be likable. But that's them taking away your power. And so do whatever you want, obviously. But I mean, it's a trick and it's a trap. And a great example of going the opposite direction for a woman, I think, is, you know, my favorite example is Amanda Seales. Doesn't even want to be likable. And I think, to me, that's what makes her so likable. Mm. I fucking love Amanda Seales. And I mean, obviously, it has, you know, she's huge. Her career is incredible. Her following extensive, you know. So it is possible to have the career that you want without worrying about being likable. He also goes on in the post to say, the more effective you are in the world, the less liked you will be. What are you willing to stand up for? To answer questions, you know, that you might have. Number one, you can still be likable. That's not the same thing as being liked. Used it a little bit interchangeably. I don't know exactly what he's talking about on that one because I'm like, I kind of do. But I'm like, I think being likable and being liked, like, I would actually say it's harder to be likable than to be liked. Like, I consider myself to be a person who is liked, but like less likable. I don't know. That's a bit of semantics there.
Yeah.
Number two, just because someone is famous doesn't mean they are inspiring change. I absolutely fucking loved that one. Really hit home for me. And then number three, this is important. Many people who used to be effective and received criticism for it have opted in their dotage to be liked and safe instead. That to me is a lot of women. I see a lot of women take, and it's because we are pummeled with feedback we didn't ask for. And so I'm not even criticizing you if you are someone who has adjusted to be, I'm going to say likable. I don't agree with that number one, to be more likable, to make your life easier. It is extremely difficult to go through life as an unlikable person. I think every now and then check in with yourself. What did you set out to do? What is your motivation? What are you trying to achieve with the work that you're doing or the person that you are existing as? And see what places you adjusted to make yourself more likable, therefore, watering down the message or the purpose of your life. Because I bet you will find many aspects that you did that. And I even check in with myself. You know, sometimes I'll be like wanting to post a fucking Instagram story about animals and how I think you're a terrible fucking person if you're buying a puppy mill dog. And I really do. And I know that I really try to see the sides to everything, but that's just one that I'm like, I just can't see the other side to that. I don't know. I think that was a fucking bad move and your dog's rules still, but you suck. And every time I want to post something like that, I go, oh, but lots of people are going to have puppy mill dogs and that's going to make them feel bad. And I go, yes. Well, maybe they should feel
bad. maybe they already did feel bad. And they got over it.
You know? Yeah. So, So that's kind of like my thoughts on that. And then number four, I maybe you. Oh, that's just him criticizing his own grammar. So we don't need to go into that. But I thought that was like a really great point and something I certainly think about a lot. But I think like applying effectiveness or, you know, thinking about how effective you are in your life versus how likable you are. Very, very important. And especially online, like if you're a person who lives online in any way, both men and women will criticize you in a way that you will want so badly to make yourself more likable, or perhaps you will, maybe you won't. And in reality, they are just trying to take away how effective you are being. Mm-hmm. And especially as far as the patriarchy is concerned, and again, overused word, but does have meaning in this context. That's what men are doing. Men know exactly what they're doing. Men are not stupid. And they love that women have started this narrative that, oh, men are just stupid. They don't know what to do. Men know exactly what they're fucking doing. And part of what they're doing is making you feel old and unlikable and less worthy, therefore making you less effective so that you're more easily controlled. I'm sure of this. So do with that information what you will.
Happy Friday. Yeah, I have nothing to add. Our guest this week, she's in her second appearance on the podcast. The first time she came on was about a year ago with her first book, Buy Yourself the Fucking Lilies. She's the author of the forthcoming book, Glow in the Fucking Dark.
It should be available now as you're listening to it, at least for pre-order. But
yeah, it's available everywhere, she said. Buy Yourself the Fucking Lilies was her first book. The second book, Glow in the Fucking Dark. Make sure you go get it. And while you're at it, welcome to the show, Tara Schuster. Since I saw you in them brown eyes, been holding my mouth tight. You make me smile. It's been a while. Can't help myself. Cause I love it when you show off your tattoo. Got everyone looking at you. I thought I was strong, but baby, you're bulletproof. Think I had something to say, but something got in my way. Next time I'll be straight to then you're spreading your wings. Butterfly, butterfly, make me open up my eyes. Thinking I'm about to die, cause I'm a loser, baby. Butterfly, butterfly. I don't understand how something so kind could ever do this to a man. I'm losing my mind too, coming unglued. The way you're talking to me about the things you wanna do, you think you got me anxious. I'm trying to make sense, saying what I think I can to get a reaction. I need to go up and take you out in your black dress. Yeah, that's the truth.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway. The Great American Race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR. The Motor Racing Network. Work.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Hello, everyone. We are here with author Tara Schuster. Your first book,
by yourself, The Motherfucking Lilies, and then you're out of your second book, Glow in the Motherfucking Dark. I added the mother part. Welcome to the show again. We're so happy to have you.
Oh, I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you.
I like that you chose a difficult route, which we also did too, which was putting fuck in the title of everything you do. It really adds an extra headache to everything.
People can't say it on television.
Yeah.
You can't write it out.
The people don't want to promote it.
Yeah. Everyone's like, ugh, what are you, a whore who wrote a book?
Like, please, can we actually talk about this? Because I just realized, yeah, nobody else feels my pain. They're
Makes me just want to write a book just called Cunt.
Yeah.
And see how far I can go with it.
I feel like that has to exist.
Someone had to do that.
But like, yeah, it's crazy. Like, it's just such a, I don't know, it's like such a babyish society, I think. Like, you can't curse. I mean, with the there's like literal horrors going on in the world, and fuck is the battle that we decided to fight.
I'm like, stupid. The earth is burning. Mm-hmm. Ukraine, we're in a full-scale war.
Yeah.
I can't say fuck in the title of a book. Like, this is the most innocent problem. Yeah. Like, are you kidding?
And I know enough kids whose parents say fuck and they don't say it. So it's like, it's possible.
Yeah.
You know, you can say fuck in front of your kids and they can understand that they can't say it. Just like you could drink a beer in front of your kid and they can understand that they don't drink it yet.
Yeah.
You know?
That said, next book, not going to have fuck in the title.
No, I'm actually surprised that you didn't learn your lesson from the first one.
The publisher, I'm going to call them out right now. They wanted, I didn't want fuck in the title. It was a huge.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, yeah. It was a huge, huge thing because I was like, speaking, going on TV, any of that stuff.
But Mark Manson did it. Mark Manson's book.
Yeah. It's very popular to have fucking a title these days.
Yeah.
People, but then, you know, there's like the camp, there's still the prude camps of people who are like, why can't ladies talk like ladies?
Yeah.
It's like, shut up.
Eat a fart.
Like it though. Like, mm-hmm. I like the title, and I was ultimate, like, it was a line from my proposal was Glow in the Fucking Dark. So it wasn't like they came up with it and they were like, you have to use this. It was something
It wasn't like they took something that you said regular and then they're like, what if we added fuck to it, Tara?
Exactly. Exactly. But I don't know.
So this book is about healing your soul, which I'm all about. Oh, and we were talking earlier before we started recording that hashtag journey to working on yourself when you have like a big misalignment and you like kind of been lying to yourself your whole life about like a big thing, which a lot of people have. Like, I don't know, I would say anybody who has like childhood trauma or some fucked up shit that happened to them when they were kids, like as a coping mechanism, your child brain does you solid by kind of lying to yourself. But boy, unlocking those lies, man, makes you want to die.
It
makes
really
me
want to
fucking die. And I wish that we gave people more of a heads up on that, because it's so worth the trip to do it. And the world will benefit, because you will benefit and everyone around you will. But it feels like death.
I mean, I'll just jump right into it. There's a whole chapter in this book about my trouble with suicidal ideation, which I've had my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what I'm trying to say is, it's not totally irrational.
Right.
There's some of us who have been through things so terrible that like little kid self, they just want to end the pain.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like I have, I was super abandoned and neglected as a kid. And that little 5-year-old who just hasn't had a minute to grow up, like that's definitely what I'm trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
Her pain is so unrelenting that when she's activated, I want to die.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to differentiate yourself. And then once you figure it out, like the mechanics of like a traumatic thing that happens to any person, whether it's childhood or adulthood, because traumatic things will happen to the day you die.
Right.
But it's like, okay, like understanding when that feeling comes up, you go, oh, wait, there's distance between me and this feeling. This isn't an actual reality. This is me being in a place where I can handle the feeling.
Yes.
And
yes.
So I can process it.
Yes. The difference between being totally overwhelmed, blended, like I can't see past this, and I'm like mid-30s Tara who like understands more, doesn't mm-hmm. need to. I use this line in the book, if it's hysterical, it's historical.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm able to see like, oh man, this problem with my boyfriend has nothing to do with my boyfriend. It has 100% to do with my dad.
Wait,
you know, like
oopsie poopsie.
Most cliche thing in the world, but until you can see it, you actually can't act differently.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, because you're overwhelmed and you just can't even see it.
Yeah, it feels like you're on a hamster wheel of hell.
Yes.
Until you figure out, oh, this is old shit.
Exactly.
Copy that.
And so what, like for you, what was the, like impetus from for writing this book after completing By Yourself the Fucking Lily? So what's like, what's the difference? What have you learned between these books?
Yeah. So By Yourself the Fucking Lilies was basically, I realized I was miserable, like 10 out of 10 miserable with my life. I figured it out. It was my 25th birthday. I drunk dialed my therapist threatening to kill myself. Mm. And I realized,
I know. I'm like, I believe I remember you saying that.
Yeah, in the original episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a, it was a lovely little incident.
Do you remember what you said?
To the therapist?
Yeah, on the voicemail.
Vaguely, it was like something like, I'm suffering. I hate this. I hate my skin. Yeah. I hate. It was, I mean, I would walk through the streets like West 11th Street. I'm like, I'm ugly. No one cares about me. No one loves me. I'm disgusting. I'll never succeed. Again.
Yeah, tormenting.
Tormenting. And I was 25 and I thought my life was close to ending.
Yeah.
And that next morning I realized, oh, if I don't save my life,
no one's coming to save you.
Nobody.
Yeah. Dude, that's There's a nobody. Wild thing to realize.
And so that morning I realized, okay, I need to reparent myself. I grew up neglected, psychological abuse, all that stuff. Cool, cool, cool. That's not my responsibility. I could blame my parents up and down.
It just doesn't do anything.
It's not going to help me.
Right.
And so the journey of By Yourself the Fucking Lilies is just learning practical tools to gain stability.
Mm-hmm.
Because stability seemed like an insane proposition that I could never have.
Right.
You know? And so it took me 5 years to figure that out. It was just a Google Doc where I wrote down, you know, all the questions I had about how do you take care of yourself? Like, what are values? What are principles?
Yeah, no one teaches you that shit.
No.
Some people have parents like Corinne, you have parents that were like pretty instructional and gave you like really helpful life tools.
I mean, values and principles are also like, you know, I think they give suggestions and then I ultimately picked. I also have also, even since I was a little kid, had like been really good at critical thinking. Mm. And I didn't realize until, I don't know, like last year that most people, even as adults, are not really able to critically think. And this is not me like calling everyone stupid. This is just a fact.
Oh,
it's like
they
have no tolerance for it.
Well, like it's also just like not a concept that many people's brains even get to.
I didn't have that. So I was asleep at the wheel until 25.
Yeah, right.
My life was just happening to me. I didn't understand I had any agency or choice or could change things until that morning where I was like, actually, it has to change or I won't be alive anymore.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the whole thing with Lilies was finding small, like big picture stuff scares me. Like if you were like, feel joy, I'd be like, cool, what are steps 1 through 5? Like, that makes no sense to me. Yeah. You know, like, that's actually why I don't like most self-help, because it's like, let go. Cool, of course.
Okay. Like, how?
Who doesn't want to let go? Yeah. You know? And so by the end of By Yourself the Fucking Lilies, I felt stable, content. I was oh my God, I'm not like on an emotional roller coaster every day.
Mm-hmm.
And then the pandemic hit.
Nice.
Okay. Right then. And Comedy Central, where I'd worked 1/3 of my life.
Third, fuck.
Where people.
In a high up position. With some good motherfucking shows.
Yes, with some cool shows where like that was my whole identity. Like I would be introduced, Tara Schuster, Comedy Central, like it was my married last name.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it was this magic trick. It was like, look at me, I'm talking to David Spade and Jordan Peele. Don't look
You're
over
like, guys,
here.
Guys, I'm doing really great, okay?
Yeah.
Sure. Doing so fucking great.
I'm so good and I'm not a weirdo. Oh, yeah. Like, my job is awesome.
I like that you added, and I'm not a weirdo, because I was like, well, in comedy, being a weirdo is actually a bonus.
It's a plus.
But to my friends, to people like, who I wanted to prove.
Oh, you still had like regular schmegular friends.
At the bottom of all that is proving that you deserve to be loved, right?
100%.
So fucked,
And that like, oh, my childhood wasn't like odd, quote unquote, like because I had a better job than you.
Yeah.
I had more status than you.
I'm overcoming my fucking,
And so then they laid my ass off with no ceremony. There's like, bye.
They didn't give you a reason or?
They basically got rid of, they got rid of a lot of people.
Yeah, so I've cleaned house a couple times.
It wasn't personal. All my heroes got let go at the same time too.
Yeah, but that helps a little bit with it, I guess.
Sort of. Because
but your ego, it's like a death of the ego where you're like, oh, I can't derive my happiness from these egotistical feelings.
I had no idea who I was if somebody else wasn't defining me and if it wasn't in relation to status, which I thought was higher than everybody's else.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So that led to...
We thought a lot alike.
I mean, I feel like a lot of people think this way. They think like, yeah, oh, my identity is completely tied to this external thing that makes me good. What happened was I totally, all the darkest traumas that I had not really addressed during the time I was writing Lilies came surging to the surface.
Yeah.
And instead of pausing for one goddamn minute to reflect, I was like, cool, cool, cool. I need meaning. I need a meaningful life. What can I do? And I Googled, how can I help in the 2020 election? Because that was, mm-hmm, if anyone recalls, a big deal. Big, big deal. First Google search result is, you can help by registering voters in Arizona. I was like, cool, grabbed my Vitamix, grabbed a bag of books I would never crack open, head to Arizona.
That so screams, I'm okay. Yeah, so you literally just went to Arizona.
I'm like, fuck this. I'm going to Flagstaff, Arizona. I'm gonna help. I'm going to help save democracy. Like, I'm on it. Yeah, like another.
You're repurposing the energy, yes, that's boiling up inside of you.
Yes, yeah, yeah, to find meaning in, yeah, something that is outside of myself.
Right.
And on the road to Flagstaff, I had the worst dissociative episode of my whole life. So where, like, I'm driving, I can see my hands on the steering wheel.
Mm-hmm.
They do not appear to be connected to my body.
Jesus.
I'm feeling full body sick. I cannot stop speeding. I am starting to get, yeah, I'm like in this weird, numb, terrified space.
Yeah.
And I realized I have to pull over. I cannot overwhelm my way through life. I cannot hustle my way. I cannot productive my way through my life. Something has to change. I pulled over. It was late at night because, yes, I was being a safe driver during this whole thing. And the stars were out. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's because LA, we basically can never see the stars, or that these were particularly nice stars.
Mm-hmm.
But I looked up and I'm just like, fuck. Mm-hmm. These stars come together because of pressure and nuclear reactions and all these horrible things that you think would make something like burst.
Mm-hmm.
But instead they glow. They actually glow. They actually like light the way for anybody. And I just wondered.
They glow in the fucking dark.
I think they
everybody.
Do glow in the fucking dark, actually. That's exactly what fucking stars
where
do.
We're going here.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Shine on, crazy goddamn diamonds. Yes.
Exactly. And the only other thing was, as I was there, I was like, and you know what else? When people talk about stars, they're never like, stars have moral failings. They
right.
didn't get their to-do list
right,
done.
Right, right, right.
Like, no one
They just exist.
They just exist.
There's mm-hmm. no opinion about them.
Right? Yeah. Other than, whoa, what a miracle.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
You know?
So, yeah, I totally got into thinking about big picture things when I had a bunch of dissociative moments where you're like, oh, that's scary. That's not good. But then you think about like the solar system, or like I would cut open an orange and just stare at it. I'm like, this is fucking perfect and beautiful, and it was once a seed.
Right?
I will be fine.
And I couldn't trick myself out of that, because we are literally made of stars, like not in a cute, like, oh, I wrote this on a mug.
Yeah,
like
the atoms and molecules. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like the iron
not
in your
like
blood.
A Moby Gwen Stefani.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. What a great throwback.
Yeah, so
Moby and Gwen.
If that's in me,
mm-hmm.
then I can't outthink myself of thinking I'm not good enough, because dude,
yeah,
there are literal miracle star in me. And if I can just hang on to this and believe what is already true, I bet I'm going to have a different outcome.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the whole question of this book, is do I have an essential self? Do I have a soul? Is my soul so fucked up that mm-hmm. I cannot hear it? Can I trust myself
so
in any kind of way?
You literally were questioning whether or not you have a soul, because I know
yes.
a few comedians who don't.
But they yes. should, though. They should question if they have
a soul. I questioned if I had a soul. Yes. And the bigger question was, mm-hmm. I thought if I did, it was really, really bad.
Right.
That was the bigger mm-hmm. thing.
That's the shit, man. With when if you grow up with somebody in your life, like an adult figure in your life, like treating you like even the neglect and stuff, a kid just goes, I guess it's me.
I thought I
and
was.
Then you, yeah.
I thought I was worthless.
If you go in your 30s with that, you're like, fuck.
Well, totally. I mean, I think, I do believe that there are people with bad souls, but I think the very thought that you are questioning whether or not you have a bad soul kind of is the answer that you don't, because yeah. someone who had a bad soul would never even think to ask that question.
It's like the narcissist thing. If you're mm-hmm. asking if you're a narcissist, you're
yeah.
probably not.
Yeah.
Right. So what can like medically, do you know like why dissociative episodes happen? Do you know the medical explanation?
I don't know like the total. I know like I'm going to butcher it to some extent, mm-hmm. but basically it's my coping mechanism so I don't have to be in reality. Mm-hmm. So it takes me away from the present, which kind of works.
Oh, so it's like it so common when people are
get sexually abused and stuff.
Yes. And stuff. Okay.
Yeah, and yeah. PTSD.
Yeah.
Just to like zoom out quick, I'm not here, I'm not here, I'm not here.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and when you realize you've been doing that, you're like, oh, that means I have to not do that. That really sucks. But when, then it's like it, basically you're preventing yourself from feeling like the flood of emotions.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And I recently was in Winnipeg, Canada, shout out, and I did the Nordic spa. I did the cold plunge, and cold plunge is actually really good for people with PTSD because it like your nervous system. What it does, Wim Hof wrote a whole fucking book about how the cold plunge will help you with your anxiety or depression, all this shit. And but it feels like when you finally don't disassociate, it feels like you're in freezing cold temperatures outside naked and about to step in ice water. And you're like, okay, my God, okay. And it's wild. It's wild and how it's, visceral it is.
It's completely, and it's so much better now what I know. So I thought doing all this work was going to kill me, overwhelm me. Mm. I was on a good enough plateau. Like I had money in savings. Like I could get another corporate job if I wanted to, you know? And I thought if I really dig deeper, this is going to be too overwhelming. I'm not going to be able to do it. I've worked so hard already. I wrote a fucking book on this. Like how mm-hmm. could there possibly be more to do? And now yeah. on the other side, having dealt with, I no longer have dissociative episodes, knock on
thank God, yeah.
all of the wood of the world. Mm-hmm. I'm like, whoa, this is an easier way to live.
I like, would say, yeah.
like this is yeah. 10 times easier than constantly not knowing my feelings, not dealing with them, pushing them down, not owning them. Oh, wow.
And not hating yourself for like for preventing you from knowing how you
oh,
felt.
Yeah.
And you're like, the therapists are always like, you have to really give your child self a pat on the back because you were doing yourself a solid by pretending. I'm like, okay, I get it. But it sucks.
And it sounds so lame. Like when – like the major thing I learned through this process was I can't hate myself into health. I can't reject mm-hmm. myself into self-acceptance. Mm-hmm. I actually am going to have to learn how to accept me. Mm-hmm. And it's so cheesy. And who would want to do that because that sounds so lame. But now I actually know it, like you can't push away your anxiety. You cannot push away your depression. All those parts of you you hate.
Yeah.
There's no way to soothe them or come to peace with them by pushing them away.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway. The Great American Race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes, Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
It's also, I'm realizing as I live my life, and also with working with Corinne, frankly, that it's just not normal to hate yourself.
Right?
But the thing is, it is if we're going by numbers.
Right. Well, societally, like, what's, how should you
be? I didn't know
that.
So that's my problem is, like, I'm just walking around for years being like, why is everyone acting like this? And then I'm like, oh, it's because everyone hates themselves. Whoa. And then people act, you know, certainly are very responsive to me.
Right.
But I'm like, I feel like I'm not like, I'm not trying to start shit with people, but people don't like when you feel good and then you say it. And it's not like I don't like get depressed or I'm not sad or I don't have plenty of my own struggles in my life. They just seem to be like different ones. And half the time I'm just like walking through life being like, nothing that anyone says feels meaningful to me.
I mean,
quite frankly, every now and then, like Alanis Morissette can nails it a lot, but I mean, I feel like there should be, you know, I feel like then when you have to reach to like an Alanis Morissette album, that there should be someone maybe in your real life saying something that resonates
Fingers
with
crossed.
You, but I don't know. So a lot of times I'll just go back and listen to something I said.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, very helpful.
I'm like, yeah, good advice, me. Thanks. Good job.
I go, wow, nailed it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But yeah, a lot of people hate themselves and it just makes everyone else's life unpleasant.
Oh,
yeah.
That's
why I would like to eradicate it.
Right. Well, that's why like you can literally make the world a better place if you stop hating yourself. That's honestly one of the best things you can do for the not for the environment physically, but like for humanity. Let's just say that, not the environment.
It was so cold this winter because everyone stopped hating themselves.
I know. Wow, we finally got snow. But yeah, it's like the best thing you could do for the world is to not hate yourself.
For
That's
sure.
The number. Yes. It's like I want to scream it from every rooftop because we all talk about with thinking about global things like how am I going to fix like these big, big issues, which we really do need to fix the big, big issues. But how about you could start literally right now today by not hating yourself because you obviously act out in ways with your whole community,
and
you know,
people be projecting.
Oh my God. And
everything, it feels like every interaction, someone's just projecting. And I'm like, wow, it's hard for me to almost differentiate an actual fight where someone's really mad and they're saying how they feel, or are they just fucking mad at their dad or whatever, like their ex or something.
You know, people don't think about if you're not dealing with your own trauma, I bet you all your friends and family are dealing with it.
Yeah.
Because you have no idea. You're not in control of it. And you're acting in ways that suck.
That are embarrassing too.
Yes.
And then when you like heal yourself, you look back and you're like, oops. Oh, I did
sorry.
That in front of people.
So people, they have so much agency. That's the other thing I just want to scream is like, you have so much power.
Sure.
The whole world wants you to think you don't have power.
Yeah.
Because
there's industries based off
exactly,
of it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you do.
Absolutely.
And you could change everything if you could change yourself. And you know you can change yourself. Like, I now know how much change I'm capable of. So even when 2 weeks ago I was like super depressed, acting shitty, caught myself, was like, oh, I can change this. I'm said my apologies, you know, like I that was me. I was acting out of place because I was reacting to this whole other thing. I'm so sorry. And let me work on myself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's once you think you have a good soul, which now I do think.
Nice.
I'm not that defensive. I'm just like, yeah, whatever. My soul's not, my whole personality and being is never at stake. So I can take feedback.
Self-worth. My self-worth is never on the line.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. It is exhausting. It's weird. It's like that you have to walk this fine line, though, too, of working on yourself, diving into all the parts you don't want to look at, shining a light on them, but also like making sure to take time out of your day and week to not think about yourself.
Oh,
is
yeah.
So goddamn exhausting.
So
I'm just like, I don't want to think about how I function in the world and how I relate to everybody for 1 second. That's why I smoked weed, but I'm like, I also don't want to disassociate, like, or, you know, kind of numb out. But I'm like, I need to just stare at a wall for a little bit. That's why I got into rollerblading and weightlifting.
Well, we need that. We need fun things that have no, like,
they're
goals.
Just
they're
simply
just fun.
Yeah.
And I get a lot from readers, oh my God, like, I'm off my journaling practice. I feel so terrible. Like, I haven't woken up on time. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah. You're just giving yourself reasons to shit on yourself.
The whole point of self-care is to take care of yourself. It's actually even—
not to stress you out more.
And it's not that serious.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool.
No one's going to, like, the teacher's not going to be like, where's your homework?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the fact
you forget
that,
though, sometimes you're like, wait, I could just do what I want.
And
okay.
That's my favorite. Like, I'm like, you know, because like there's a lot of this talk about like, you know, adulting and like how people don't like it. I'm like, and that's also to me is like, I'm like, I love being an adult. Wait, doing whatever you want every day. And of course, there's difficult things.
Right.
You know, and paying bills and, you know, balancing your check. That stuff's not fun. But I think like payoff that you get doing whatever you want all the time is so awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
It's great.
Oh, you couldn't pay me to be any younger or like to ever go back. Because now,
oh my God.
I'm like, oh, I know myself. Mm-hmm. I love myself. And I can say that without cringing. And I'm in charge of me.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really nice.
You know?
I do think, though, like, it's so funny because I see, like, Corinne has always been in a place where she's, like, always known she was. So that was never in question. And then, so, like, I've been on this thing where I'm like, okay, I'm fucked up. Okay, got it. And there's just years of, like, crying and screaming and then going, oh, okay, I'm an adult now. I can have, like, big girl pants on and do things that I don't necessarily want to do, but I got to do them. But then I worry that I am headed for this mental place of, like, realizing that most people don't work on themselves and they're all full of shit. You gotta like somehow develop a sense of humor about that.
Oh,
because
wait,
it can
totally.
I imagine it can be very distressing.
Well, I'm trying to talk about suicidal ideation in a way that's funny.
Yeah,
because I'm like, there's just enough tears already.
Sure.
You know,
I have merch that says congrats on not killing yourself, but I'm like, I really mean it.
I
it's hard
need
life is hard
that merch. Yeah. That's like one of the truer statements I've heard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, a lot of people resonate with it. I'm like, oh fuck, it's dark out there, y'all. Shit. More people are suicidal than I thought.
It's true, and nobody talks about it.
Yeah.
And then people say stuff like, oh, you'd have to be so selfish to kill yourself, or like, oh, they weren't thinking about your family. And then I want to scream.
Yeah, that makes me want to kill myself even more.
Being born is non-consensual.
Yes.
And no one can fight me on it. I mean, that's part of the reason I don't want to have kids. I'm like, why would I do that to somebody?
That I had never thought of it from that
I
angle.
Think about
unless you had
it
a dream where someone was knocking on your womb like, mommy, I want to come to the world. Excuse me.
Wait, what?
Like, what if you had a dream where, like, your future kid was like,
oh, if I had,
can you have me?
I don't believe too much in actual dreams. I mean, the dream I had last night was, like, wild. So it has, and it's not, no basis in reality.
Yeah.
It's, like, representative of other things, you know?
It's all a metaphor.
Yeah. But, yeah, you know, so that's why, you know, people are like, oh, you have to do all this for your parents. I'm like, listen, and I love my parents very much. I mean, my dad's dead, so that love is, you know, gone. It's still there.
It died with him.
It's not as active, you know, it doesn't have to be as active anymore. But he, yeah, it's, I don't know. It just feels like no one, who asked for this?
Yeah.
I'm here, so I'm going to do the best with what I have. But it's not like, oh my God, life is the greatest gift I've ever been given.
And we got it.
Right.
So now what?
Right.
Yeah. That's the whole thing that I'm after. Like, you know, I didn't go to like theological school. I'm not a psychiatrist, not a psychologist, whatever. My only question is like, how the fuck do I make meaning out of this thing?
Because
this thing is happening.
Exactly.
So is there a way for me to enjoy it? Like
there's
any amount?
And there is. Like that, and that motivation is a damn jetpack.
Yes, yes. And
like,
that's,
there's got to be a better feeling than this one.
What I hope that both of my books give is just like, here are a few ways this could be more enjoyable. You could have more agency. I don't know that they'll work for you. I have no idea.
Yeah.
This is just what like I've observed. Because we need meaning. Otherwise, why not just go jump? Like, if you don't have something to like tether you.
I mean, that's the, you know, man's search for meaning. That's
I didn't want to quote it, but like,
it's the whole
absolutely.
Thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you can create meaning.
Yes.
And you can find new meaning and your meaning evolves.
All the time.
Yeah. But feeling like stuff's meaningless is,
dark.
That's a dark day, and you just order Chinese food all day and smoke weed and watch reruns of shit.
So because this is a relationship and dating podcast, were you in a relationship while writing this book?
At points.
Interesting. Can you talk a little bit about that and maybe how that, just because I think especially for women, so much of our societal value does unfortunately come from whether or not we are coupled. I highly disagree. We've been talking a lot lately. I highly disagree. I've yet to have an instance where I felt like I actually had more value having a partner, a romantic partner. So, yeah, can you speak to that and how it affected your writing?
Absolutely. I mean, a big reason I fell so apart without the Comedy Central job was I was uncoupled. I did not have kids. I had none of these other markers of what I thought it meant to be like a successful woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I was like, so really, what am I? Because
all I have is me.
Yeah.
But, well, then what did you find? Yeah, exactly. And what was the...
So the answer was, wow, I have me. And I'm pretty awesome. And I'm with me. And I'm with the universe. a lot of this is actually finding like a bigger belonging that has nothing to do with these like incidental incidents. I call it Lady God. I'm like aligned with fucking stars and Lady God and the universe. And that makes me like a much bigger thing than just this like teensy little me who needs to have a bridal shower, basically.
Right. Right.
But there's a thing in the book where I was dating a guy who he told me he was like a magnate from a, you know, had like a transatlantic accent. And
oh, wow.
I'm going to take care of you, sweetie. You know, he's kind of like, but literally.
Stick with me, Tuts. Yeah, I got you.
He's like, you're the best.
Yeah.
Like,
where did you meet this
person? Are you my new daddy?
I mean, boyfriend?
Yes. No, I was like, okay.
Hinge. Wow. Hinge. Okay.
I was like,
I'm going to angle you towards that. Yeah.
I was like, he's rich. He's
obsessed. Rich too.
He's obsessed with me. All he wants to do is have kids with me, which I don't know that I want, but like he wants that for me. I was so flattered.
There is something so yeah, I don't even know the word, but yeah, about having someone being positive about like enticing about someone being obsessed with you. I love it. My therapist goes, "You like that?" I go, "Fuck yeah."
Absolutely.
I was like, "More people need to like that."
I was obsessed with how much he was obsessed with me.
But there's then sometimes if it starts out too heavy too soon, you're like, okay, this is
all of a sudden he's needing $1,200 to tow his car.
Oh, he ain't rich.
That's a Tindler Swindler.
Yeah,
was something.
That's a Hinge cringe.
I call him the real Gatsby IRL. I do not know entirely what his deal was, but it was so bad. The whiplash.
He knew to lure you in.
Exactly.
He wanted to use, motherfuckers know what a person wants to hear.
So I took a year off dating. I was just like, peace
after
out.
After
this guy was like, peace out.
But you knew immediately, though. Like, once he asked you for money, you were like, I'm done?
No.
You didn't.
Okay. So I just kept going.
It's intoxicating the obsession. Wait, can we break this down a little bit? Because I'm curious, because I always think it's very helpful to hear other people's accounts of them falling into this thing, because it's hard. You can't see the forest through the trees.
Yeah.
But when you hear this story, you're like, those are the flags. Those are the flags.
Yes.
Those are the Okay. So, like, in what other ways, like, did he shower you with gifts?
Gifts.
God, this is like textbook.
Meals. Like, what level? But so, okay. What level of gift and what level of.
Yeah.
Meal?
Like, we'd go to All Time, a restaurant in Los Feliz, and he would
is that
order.
A fancy one?
It's like what a Los Feliz person. It's like low key fancy.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But he'd order everything on the menu. Mm-hmm. Like, we'll have like basically one of everything.
This is there's so many guys that do this shit.
And the biggest thing that I was just willfully ignoring was these half truths all the time.
Like what?
Like, we'd be somewhere and he'd tell someone, I bought my house, but I knew he rented. Or he'd tell.
And you wouldn't bring it up.
No, I wouldn't say anything. Like, always these just little.
Yeah,
like, I'm like, or he said he went to high school in Denmark. And then a friend asked him, oh, like, what was the name of the school? He's like, I don't seem to recall.
Oh,
what?
Wow.
You're like, you don't seem to recall.
Toots.
Yeah, exactly.
Now get back in that kitchen.
And then, so I'd hear these, willfully ignore it because I wanted to be wanted and I did not care about anything else.
You were like, la, 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 la.
Totally, totally. And so at the end of it, I just felt so, just like, how did I do this to myself yet again? Because he sucked.
The answer is simple, though, really, right? The answer is he dangled something in front of you that felt good.
Yeah, and I
and
wanted
you kind
it.
Of
you
kind of tunnel
you believe what you want to believe.
Yeah. Exactly. And so I then took a year off, and I only recently have emerged into dating again, but with a matchmaker.
Ooh, that's very interesting.
I want to get into that, but I just want to tie
the Swindler guy. I got more questions.
Just because, okay, so where was he getting that money from? Other women?
Other women, right?
So I actually think he was wealthy, but he was on an allowance. And that he would run through.
That's some fuckboy shit if I ever heard.
Yeah. I think he.
My mumsy gives me $20,000 a month.
That's so funny.
I went to his family's house.
And
I checked
rich.
Out.
Okay.
I, you know, looked at the Wikipedia page. That checked out. But at the end of the month, we couldn't go to dinner or he needed money.
That's hilarious.
What was the most amount that he asked you for?
I think it was $1,200. It was $1,200 or $1,400.
For what?
Towing a car.
Yeah, because for me, the minute someone asks me for money in a romantic relationship, yeah, I usually would give it to them one time, lose total respect for them, and then walk away.
Well, I would never ask a friend. First off, like, I mean, I would have to be in such dire shape.
I've had friends ask me for money in ways where it didn't bother me, and they all paid me back right away.
I hadn't been in that position.
Yeah.
And I would myself, in a romantic thing that had been less than 6 months, I would die before I asked a guy for money.
Oh, that's insane.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's nuts.
Die.
Yeah. When you broke it off with him, how did he take it?
It was so weird. He was like,
really? He was weird?
He was like sending me flowers and these weird.
Oh, it was the beginning of the month?
Well, must have been. He gave me, this is the ultimate weird thing that I write about. He the whole time refused to read my first book, Lilies.
Okay.
And I really wanted him to.
So it just didn't get around to it. He actually refused. No?
Because he said,
I will not stand for this.
He said, I want to respect your boundaries.
That's
to which I said,
you were asking him to read the book.
Yeah. I make my own boundaries.
Right.
I am asking you to do this. No, no. I want to respect your boundaries.
I couldn't possibly read.
One day, he's about to throw a party for no reason. Like, this Hollywood Hills.
That's so gaspy. That's some Richie Rich shit.
I mean, literally, like, Mr. Monopoly was there. There was a man with a monocle. Like,
oh my God.
From a former life of his.
Oh, wow.
I was insane. And he's like, I have a gift, and it would mean so much to me if you would take it. I'm like, okay. I open this thing. It's my book. Except he's written all over
it, and put passages
from Russian literature over the pages, and has like glued leaves.
Tara, I hate this guy.
He's gonna kill you. I'm so glad you left.
This guy's
a murderer.
It was at that moment where I was like, this is really weird.
And he like had the look in his eye of like, you love it, babe?
He said it was something like, it would mean so much to me if you would take this.
My own
book that you like that defaced?
Yeah.
Wow.
And that was the end. And that whole time I had felt so anxious about him.
Yeah.
I actually started seeing a psychiatrist because I was like, I've done all this work.
Is it me?
Yeah. Why am I 10 out of 10 anxious every morning when I wake up? Why am I startled and like, you know, my heart is racing?
Because this person is not a safe option. Well,
so she said, I don't think you're anxious. I think you're furious.
Oh.
And I was like, oh,
you were allowing yourself
God, I wasn't allowing myself. A lot of us think we're anxious, but really, if we asked what's underneath of it, it was that I didn't know how to express anger. I had no practice.
Mm-hmm.
So pushing something down feels like anxiety.
It
feels bad that way.
Does. That's a good point.
And so once I could kind of identify that, and that's a huge part of this book, is actually learning how to label your emotions. Because it actually pretty quickly changes your whole life. You're like, oh, wait, I'm not anxious. I'm furious. So I can break up with this
guy. Because it leads you to a solution.
Exactly.
Almost immediately.
Yeah. And that's actually when I broke up with him, was like, whoa, I'm justifiably so mad.
Right.
So it is now time to break up with you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he sent me flowers. He actually very recently sent me an overnight.
Ew.
Like from like the Hollywood Hills to like to like West Hollywood of all these pictures of me. And
oh my God. And
like something
Tara.
Like,
this
I
is
love
an episode
you.
Of you.
You should move, girl.
I know. But
I know he's not as hot as Penn Badgley.
No, he is not. Yes.
No one is. So and it's an impossibility.
I'd
it's
probably true. Accept Penn Badgley, actually.
Yeah,
I'd probably be like, well,
you'd be a little
whatever.
But well, there's that. What was that fucking movie on Netflix where the guy's like eating body parts? Penn Badgley could literally eat half of my leg.
No,
and I'd be like, I'll waddle around.
Yeah,
he was hungry. It's a real sickness. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So he's gone. He's
but
out
he
of
still
my life.
Pokes you a little.
Well, you know when a guy just kind of fishes?
Yeah,
they're like
so
oh,
desperate.
Like 5 to 6 months later, I had this happen recently with someone else. Like 5 to 6, I was listening to NPR and I thought of you.
Yeah,
cool.
It's like a hey.
Yeah,
like, is that always crazy though? Because every now and then I do hear something that makes me think of someone, and I will reach out, but I'm not trying to fuck them.
It depends how.
Well,
it
you're
ended.
A girl reaching out to a guy or to a girl, so it's like it's different. I feel like when a guy does that,
and
there's
if you
a motive.
Ended
I was like,
amicably,
fuck, I gotta stop doing that.
No, like if it ended like, oh, we're not gonna burn each other's houses down,
right.
But if it ended in a
I've
weird
never
did way,
anyone who owns a home, Tara, so.
Yeah.
Neither did have I because he was renting.
So now you have a matchmaker.
Yes,
that's a very interesting. Can you talk
I'm
about that
very
process?
Fascinated by. Yes,
I think that's a great idea.
Yes,
because it weeds out swindlers.
Well, I was like, okay, Hinge has not worked. I have been on it for at least a decade at this point.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't even know it was an app for a decade. Yes.
I've been there. I've been in these trenches.
You cut the ribbon.
Was at the opening ceremony.
You had the ringing bell.
Yeah, exactly.
You were the first profile on Hinge.
First one.
That actually would have been dope.
That's hilarious.
And there probably were good people like way back when, but now I'm just like at the bottom of the gutter with like the same people I've seen before again and again and again.
Oh, shit.
And I'm like, why are we all here?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And also, what's my personal responsibility, which is why I took the year off to like figure out my shit. For sure, I was responsible for this too.
Yeah.
And I came out of it being like, I'm also addicted to Hinge. I'm addicted to people liking me. And then I say nothing to them and delete the app.
Yeah. Mm. That is fun.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway the great American race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes, Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network. Work.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350 plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
And I also was watching, I think it was Jay Shetty, and I don't necessarily know these really famous internet type people. I don't necessarily know how I feel about them, but I'll take a little from everyone. And he was talking about how we have too many choices as human beings, and choices actually have a negative impact on human beings, and how we kind of just need to like pick someone and work on it, which I mean,
sounds a little bleak, but I also get the
when he said it. I was like, oh gosh, that's just I'll just pick me, I think. But I understand what he said, because I think that's like part of the reason people complain, especially in LA and New York, about dating, is because we have too many choices here.
Absolutely.
Had I stayed in New Jersey, I probably would be married right now.
Absolutely. And I think I was also, you know, it's a profile. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, was looking, I'd be totally
like
honest.
We looking at your own profile, like, how do I think guys see me? They must think I'm this and this and this.
Well, more like what school did the guy go to? Do I think he's employed? Like my standard.
Do I think he's employed?
Do I love dating in 2023?
Yeah, it was like my standards were so low.
Yeah.
And I was expecting so little from people that I was just like, okay, this is not working.
It's not a good foundation to start on.
I need a matchmaker. And I found this woman in LA, Sophie Love the Matchmaker. And she, so oh my God.
What's her like? What's her? Does she have a niche?
A tagline?
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So we go get it.
You will get fucked tonight, girl. But in a good way.
I think we
not
need
financially.
To, we need to tell her that, and that can be her tagline.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't have one, but her approach is like, why don't you meet these people for real and not banter with them and not like have a completely superficial conversation? Why not just be real from your first date?
I would love that. But people get scared when you start out with the real shit.
But then, bye.
I've terrified people before.
But like now what I realize is like, cool, bye. Then you're not for me, because actually I'm at a level now where I really want to talk about real stuff. And I had this happen very recently where a guy hadn't texted me back. He had texted me every single day for like a week, and then I didn't hear from him for 2 days. And I was like, oh my God, why hasn't he texted me?
I don't deserve love. Oh,
I
knew it.
I knew this was ruined. And like former me would have just continued in that doom spiral.
Sure.
Me now with Sophie being like, why don't you just say how you feel? I was like, hey.
Yeah, like, wait, I can do that? That's you know, legal?
That's legal. Yeah, I won't be kicked out of the state for this or kicked out of dating. And I said, hey, you know, I'm just noticing there's a change in how we're talking and it's totally cool if you're not interested. I just would want to know. He was like, no, 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 no. I'm so sorry. It was a work thing. Immediately called me, said, wow, that must have been hard to write that text message. That's so cool. How often would you like to be texted?
Mind blown.
I was like, oh, a guy who's like communicating with me. But had I not.
And doesn't label your communication as nagging.
Yeah, exactly. Or like, I'm so needy or I'm what a bitch. Like all those things. And then I realized, oh my God, there are guys out there that are of quality. Yeah. And I would have never known that. I might have even preemptively broken up with him had I not said how
I felt. Oh, you're
going to
hurt me? I'll hurt you first. See you never.
I'm out of here.
But also I think sometimes, like, especially I think women, we do this is like, you know, especially if they start the pattern of texting us, we don't realize that we could also just text them too.
Isn't that crazy? Oh, I could have texted
so many guys the conversation. Be like, you never text me. And I go, yeah, no, I know. And I don't intend to.
That's your job. I'm not doing it.
But I let them know that, you know, and they go, it makes me feel bad when you don't text me. I go, ugh, me existing in the world makes me feel bad. So we're gonna have to split the difference.
How many dates does this, like, how does this match make it work? You say what you want and then she hooks you up with like a certain amount of dates a week.
So she has like a set number of dates she's gonna do. She always does more, but basically, so she Zoom interviews you. But here's the amazing thing. She Zoom interviews or in-person interviews every single person you're going to match with.
Good. That's good.
So she has done the weeding.
Yeah.
There is one
that's
step
the most
of like,
exhausting part.
Oh, this person isn't going to be a crazy nightmare.
Right. Because that can make you give up on humanity real quick.
Which
dating
I had.
Is so exhausting.
And how much paperwork or how much talking did you do about things? That, you know, when you see a matchmaker on TV, they're literally like height, eye color.
Yeah.
Like
no.
What kinds of things did she ask you about what you want in a partner? And were there like a list of deal breakers or?
Yeah, it was mostly, I was like, I want to be somebody who I can grow with, who's done a lot of work on themselves, who is emotionally intelligent, available, can communicate. It was like completely different from what college did they go to? How much money do they make? It was like a wildly different approach because her approach is, it's this thing that she calls authentic relating, where it's like
authentic.
Like you actually talk about stuff. Basically, that's what it is. AKA,
I was like, mine is like share bond. So specific at this point. It's just like Zaddy with tattoos who rescues dogs.
Ooh.
But also thinks I'm hilarious. Or, you know, they don't, I think I'm done people who themselves are hilarious. I'm just going to be the funny one. I've decided.
Right?
Yeah.
I also realized with funny used to be one of my number one things is like, he has to be funny. And then.
And
I,
not anymore?
Not anymore.
Oh my God.
I'd rather him be authentic.
No, not that either.
Oh.
That we can laugh. Oh. Actually, it's big dick.
Yeah.
That's what's been added
Orphan.
To the list. Yeah, exactly. But that just, we laugh at activities. We do things that are fun.
Oh, okay.
But like, he doesn't have to be the funniest person who's ever lived.
Having a fun boyfriend is very nice.
Fun boyfriend, I gotta say.
Yeah, fun boyfriend.
I have a fun boyfriend for the first time ever. I'm like, wow, this is the way to go.
Yeah. A fun boyfriend, so much more than like listening to the Decemberists, like so sad.
I always hated that. That was my
usual bag.
Yeah.
A sad sack of crap.
Sad is no fun.
We could be sad together and go wah, wah, wah. Yeah. But then you're like, wait, I'd rather like prank people. Together, like getting a fake fight at a Walmart.
Yeah. And if it doesn't work with him, with this person I'm currently seeing, I'm like, whoa, but now I remember how I was supposed to be treated.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which was as a real legitimate human who someone was nice to. Which it's so sad that that had gotten so far away from me.
It does. It escapes you, man.
It escapes you.
And you develop this thing like with the self-healing thing and like working on yourself. Like the best part of it is realizing, oh, okay, I've worked really hard. I fought for this very solid foundation that I've created for myself to the point where and the personal responsibility is such a huge element of that foundation. Whatever anybody throws at me, that's not the last swindler I'm going to meet. No. You know, that's not the last piece of crap that's going to try to fucking, you know, take advantage of me for XYZ or whatever, you know, you know how to handle it.
Exactly.
So it's like, okay, well, come at me, life. And whatever people bring their shit towards me, if I can't see it right away, okay. And if it reveals themselves to be like, you're a piece of trash, which is going to happen until the day you die, you go, oh, okay, see ya. And it, you're like, oh, it's right. not me. I can get out of this situation. Okay, bye. See you never.
And it doesn't wow. devastate you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just no longer devastated. Because your self-worth
isn't wound tied. Up in that.
Exactly. Yeah. And I recognize, yeah, people are also so weird. Like, the so way this Great Gatsby was treating me had literally nothing to do with me. It is so sad for him.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
now I'm great.
Yeah.
You know? And so I really feel like all this work, you don't do it so that you're perfect and now everything's amazing. You do it so that when the shitty situation comes up again, right. as it will, you're more resilient. You can bounce back quicker. You don't go to such a dark, especially with stuff like suicidal ideation. I don't want to go to like grim darkness
mm-hmm. yeah.
every time something
every
goes
time
wrong.
A guy is an asshole, you're yeah. like, I guess I'll kill myself.
Which
no,
can
ain't
happen.
Nobody want to be in that. Exactly. Yeah. It's like you gotta take yourself out of that.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's the biggest problem, and that's like one of the hardest things to get out of is like having your entire like demeanor and mood change depending on how a significant other or a partner or someone you're interested in is treating you.
Totally.
Because even I'm guilty of that, and like it's like how do you get around that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I hope that like the stuff we're all doing is like building enough self-worth. Like yeah. building enough internal safety that this kind of stuff just doesn't rock the boat as much. Like it definitely still does right. for me, but so much less
yeah. Yeah.
than it Which ever has before. Huge.
Huge.
And I know that as I'm on this path, it can only get better in that way because I look at the data points.
Yeah.
Like 25 to now is a completely different state of mind and I'm excited
yeah.
for how I might grow you know, more and who I might grow into.
Yeah, that's great. Congratulations on working on yourself. That's awesome.
Thank you. Congratulations on working on yourselves. It sounds like you too have been
a lot of crying
on the journey.
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh yeah, we have been. Did you have any more questions you
no.
want to ask? So where can people get the book? Is it out now? Is it this
yes.
episode is going to be coming out on Luminary this Friday and then
Excellent.
Wide release the following
so,
Friday?
So yes, this book is out now. You Yay. Can get it anywhere. Books are sold, Amazon, your local indie, anywhere.
Okay, great. And then what's your social media if you want to promote that?
Yeah, I'm Tara Schuster on the gram.
Sweet.
And I have a newsletter where people can really talk to me, which you can get by texting 66866 or texting the word GLOW to 66866 or just off my website. But I love the newsletter and
Yay.
I hope people will join me there.
Yeah, get cool. this book, everybody. Buy it. I recommend from a local bookstore, but I know yeah. Amazon sometimes. You got to do it. You got to yeah. do it.
Sometimes
just
you get
however you do it, it helps Tara. So that's yeah.
thank you.
That's awesome. This has been Guys We Fucked, the anti-slut shaming podcast. We'll talk to you next Friday. Guys We Fucked is presented by Luminary.
Created and hosted by Corinne Fisher and Christina Hutchinson.
Editing and music coordination by Mike Coscarelli. Theme song by Rob Patterson and Jake Kozen.
Suck my wet ass pussy.
Christina said to cut that before, but now it's in there.
Yeah, let's keep it. Who cares?
Hey girl, take your black dress off. Let's get a little bit of color. I'ma bring you around my world. I wanna draw you in the door now. Hey girl, we could stay in the lines, but sometimes a little swerve will make you happy inside. Yeah, I'll draw a circle around you.
episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway. The Great American Race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network. Work.